Welcome to the Motivated Creative Podcast, where we dive into inspiring stories and journeys of handmade business owners, as well as giving guides and teachings to help grow your own creative business. I'm Nikki, I'm your host, and every week I'll bring you insights, tips, and heartfelt conversations with passionate artisans, creative entrepreneurs, and business experts. Whether you're just starting out or you're looking to take your handmade business to the next level, this podcast is for you. Hello and welcome back to the Motivated Creative Podcast. Today, we're exploring the ins and outs of PR, marketing and communications with one of my most favourite people in the whole wide world, with Rachel Hargrave. Hey, Rachel. How you doing?
I'm sparkling, thank you. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm happy now. Good to see you. I love having conversations with Rachel. Rachel is the founder and the managing director of RDZ PR, and is dedicated to helping businesses succeed. She's all about marketing, as am I, and we've had many conversations in the past about marketing. But today, what we're focusing on is talking to people about why marketing isn't the enemy, why it's the myth that it is the enemy, why it's a myth that it's a luxury, and what the biggest misconceptions about marketing are. So hopefully you will be able to get some tips, some guides, and feel a little bit more confident with your marketing going forward. So, we've had this conversation a couple of times about, I always say, it's marketing by telepathy is what a lot of people expect from their marketing. But what are the main misconceptions that you find that you're getting from people about how to market their business, how to get out there, what's to say?
I think one of the biggest issues that I find with people, it's not a lack of knowledge necessarily, it is fear of doing the wrong thing. It is fear of investing, whether that's pounds or time, and it not working. It's fear that stops people, including myself. I am not putting myself on some freaking pedestal here. It's fear that stops people doing it rather than a lack of information, I think. And I think certainly when I used to be a very, very avid face-to-face networker, I used to stand and talk to people. Good businesses, good business people, fabulous businesses. And what united them all in this particular environment that I'm thinking of was that they wanted to grow their businesses. And yet, you could almost see them as I stood up, and the social media person then stood up, and the marketing person stood up, and the copywriter stood up, and the videographer stood up, all talking about what people, you know, giving top tips and all the rest of it. And I could see what I was feeling. I could see on their faces, which was, lady, I don't have time to pee in a day, let alone write a press release, keep a social media up to date, shoot some video, and who wants to shoot video anyway? Because look at my roots and, you know, and all that. And I look, you know, the camera puts on how many pounds and all that kind of good stuff. Why? I don't know how to write copy. I don't know how to brief a copywriter. I don't know what I should be doing in what order. So rather than doing something, and that's one of my phrases for 2024, is do something. And the other is, if it's imperfect, it's the new perfect. Do something. Rather than doing something, they would do nothing. And as a result, they would get at best the same results as they were getting, and at worst, actually, their business would decrease because they weren't getting that additional new excitement prospects into the pipeline. And these were good people who were very good at what they did, but what they didn't do or what they didn't think they did was market. It's almost as dirty a word in some circles as being a salesperson. I don't want to sell. Of course you do. I'd pay your mortgage, don't you, want to take kids on holiday? That's sales. Gonna do that.
This is the thing, and I find there's so many different layers to marketing, but we all sort of get put under the one banner of marketing, but there's so many different layers to it. And there's this element of people just going, oh, well, you know, I got a few sales last month, so I don't need to tell anybody else. Forgetting that the less you talk about your own product, the more people coming into the marketplace, there's more people coming on top of you that are doing the exact same thing as you or the exact same product as you in a slightly different way. And if they shout louder, people are going to hear them. If you're not shouting at all, you've not got a voice in the market. And it's really, it's not necessarily about marketing to get sales. It's about keeping your level in the market, hopefully growing. You know, we all aim for that growth, but at least to keep a level and not start backtrack.
Yeah, I think it's something when we were talking before we started recording, and you know, you are so right, it's often very difficult to do it for yourself, because we have this, whether it's British modesty or whether it's just a compunction not to be seen and heard or be seen as that boastful person, that person's always talking about themselves. It can feel very icky, particularly for people who are micro businesses, sole traders, solopreneurs, whatever the hell you want to call them, or us. It has that feeling of I don't want to be that person. But actually, finding a tone and a language which you are happy to use to express yourself, that is your authentic voice, I think is one of the most exciting things you can do as a person, let alone as a business person. And it helps to generate such a more powerful message because this is your authentic you. And I think, you know, a lot of people have fallen out of love with, for instance, social media, whatever platform you're on. I'm old, so Facebook's still there for me on a personal level. But whatever your platform is, whatever your poison is, you know, we see the, let's take me as an example. I work within PR predominantly, and I see some beautiful PR people in fabulous gowns in exotic locations with huge amounts of followers. And this little old me with her roots and a God Save the Queen t-shirt. Probably got dog hair on somewhere because I've got dogs and everything has got dog hair on nowadays. And I don't have a huge following by any stretch of the imagination. And in my darker moments, there is that, is that what I need to do in order to be successful? But what did Oscar Wilde say? Something around, you know, you be you because everybody else is taken, you know, and I'm not the person that's going to be in a beautiful gown in a great, fabulous, exotic location, because it's just not me. And me and dresses haven't been friends for very, very many decades now, and I have no intention of making them so. But it's about finding your authentic voice and a way of talking on, whether it's social media or via the meet the press or on your website, whatever your channels are that you choose to do something through, it's about having a go, trial and error. And I think these are the very unsexy words nowadays, because everybody wants the instant solution. But because they want the instant solution, they don't want to make the mistakes, and therefore they stop doing things. Well, actually, it's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes, because your idea of what that mistake is going to be is probably huge, like Everest, and actually it's probably just a little molehill. You know, it's not going to make that much of a rumble. It's okay to try and to find different tones and to put things, different things on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, TikTok, for you to find your voice and what really excites you, so that you do then start posting more regularly, and then you do build the traction, and. And it's like that rolling stone, isn't it? You've got to start somewhere and push off whatever the marketing piece is that you start with. Just do it.
I get this so much, because a lot of people will look at me and talk to me and they'll say, oh, but you're so confident, and you're so, I'm not. It's not an easy thing. Even coming onto these podcasts, I have my belly goes and I get a bit nervous and I have to do my hair again just to double check I don't have this weird quiffy thing going on that happens sometimes. And you have that preparation. I am, I'd say, fortunate or unfortunate enough to have married a salesman. So he's the, just get on the phone, just talk to them. Just get on the phone. He's that guy. It's a numbers game. Just talk to people. He's that guy. And he's brilliant at it. He doesn't understand that, you know, it can take me 20 minutes to half an hour just to phone Sky to see whether we can, you know, get a change in our bill, let alone anything else. So, but there's that fear. But yet, do you know what really annoys me more than anything? I did a live off the cuff the other day, and I was like, do you know what? Stuff it. I'm going to do a live. I'd literally just come off a webinar that I'd done for somebody else's business. And I got some good feedback and I thought, I wonder if, you know, my audience would love this. So I've jumped on, did a quick live, didn't even think about it, tried not to rewatch the video because that is the, I'll instantly delete it if I've watched myself, like 100%. So I've jumped on and I've done a live. And yes, everyone wanted the training. And yes, within a couple of hours, I had it set up on the system and I had 6 people signed up within a couple of hours of me doing that live because people wanted it. And I hadn't thought it through. I'd literally just done it. And it's hard because you're supposed to plan your marketing. You're supposed to design your marketing. It's supposed to flow. It's supposed to be easy. But it's those little ones, those ones where you actually show yourself. I can't stand being on video, you know, in front of my audience without thinking it through, without having like a little mini script. But in that moment that I did, and I was my true authentic self, and I just went on and asked a question, it worked. It's the hardest bit to sort of, until you do it, you don't realize how powerful it is. Until you actually get on there and just jump on and do it, you don't understand how powerful it is. Just being yourself, not worrying about the Instagram lifestyle set of this perfect life and this laptop lifestyle and all of that sort of stuff. Not worrying about that. Hair up, on the way to the gym, whatever it is. It's just that connection. And I think a lot of people, myself included, I've done it in the past, we see that as the enemy. We see it like, we'll never be that person. We'll never be, so why bother? And I think that's the bit that sort of holds us back, maybe, is that worry that we'll never quite meet up to those people that are millionaires on a boat living the laptop lifestyle.
I was, one of my secret pleasures is watching Beard Meets Food on YouTube. Now, if you don't know who Beard Meets Food is, he is a beardy fella from up north who eats food, lots of food. He eats it quickly. A competitive eater. Perhaps you would say he's no longer a competitive eater because he doesn't particularly do competitions anymore, but he certainly does restaurant challenges, yada, yada, yada. And he has a lot of followers. I don't know the number, but millions. Yeah, the millions of followers. And he was doing a challenge in Iceland, of all places, not the supermarket. And a lady came up to him and went, oh, and he's in the middle of this challenge and he's talking to camera and his sister's there because, you know, some company and Sister Beard is big on his channel. And he gets people asking when Sister Beard coming back on his channel. And this lady came up and said, are you Beard Meets Food? And he went, yeah, yeah, I am. He's in the middle of a challenge. He's got a time limit, huge plates of food. And she says, oh, I wonder if you could give me some advice. I've just posted my first video on YouTube. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. What is it you do? She says, oh, I hike and I do mountains. And he's like, oh, what's your YouTube channel? And it's, I can't remember what it was called, this gal Mountain or something. I can't remember. But she said it. And he went on. He said, oh, there you go. I'm your 16th subscriber. I went on over 1,000 subscribers to a channel. His video had been out for hours. Now, it might be that she'd done something amazing, but having that one conversation, he didn't tell her to pee off. He was lovely. He was on a timed challenge with a huge plate full of food, and he still took the time out to talk to her. And I think it has made such a difference to her channel.
Yeah.
How kind is that? So sometimes there is luck involved with it. Sometimes there is being brave enough to stop somebody you don't know halfway through a bloody challenge. And
yeah,
he might have turned around and said, and quite respectfully, can I just finish this? And she might not have been able to stop around because for whatever reason, a taxi was waiting or whatever. But yeah, he didn't. He did his challenge, kept going, and it's made a difference to her channel. Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that you should stop Beard Meets Food when he's in the middle of a challenge and ask for his advice on whatever your marketing problem is. But what I am saying is be brave. Be brave. Go for it. You know, like your beautiful husband, Alex, and his, you know, just pick the phone up and make a call. What's the worst they can say? You know, it is a numbers game to some extent. Yeah, so is marketing. So is PR. If I send a press release out to 5 journalists, I run the risk of all 5 taking it or none taking it. If I send the press release to 50 journalists, still relevant, let's stress that, it's not just any number of journalists, it still needs to be relevant, then the percentage increase in who where it gets published, posted, used, broadcast, whatever, goes up, as long as there's the careful consideration underneath that. But I think to have a strategy doesn't need to be huge and complex. I've just finished doing a piece of work for Leicester City Council where I've written strategies for 10 micro businesses based in the city. None of them were complex. None of them at all were complex. But as Jim Rohn says, the American business philosopher, if something's easy to do, it's easy not to do. But start doing something, do it small, test it. Does it work? Yes. Am I enjoying it? Yes, no. And then repeat and start building up. And you can always put more into your marketing. But the first bit I would say to anybody staring down the gun of considering doing marketing for the first time or even restarting their marketing is start simple, test it, find your feet, get your voice, then add in additional pieces. And that could be platforms on social media. It can be email marketing as well as sales funnel. It can be, yeah, it's about finding your voice, finding your message, adding value. Give away the stuff. And people go, oh, yes, but we can Google it. There's hardly a bloody industry we can't Google. You could Google how to, well, one bit my business is RDZPR. You can Google how to write a press release. Don't need me. You can find contacts for the journal and for media online. Don't need me. But people do need me because they don't have the time or they choose not to do it. And that's fine. But so I can give away information and add value to people's lives where people then go, hey, she's a good egg. But actually, I still, you know what, I could do that for myself, but I think I'll buy a media list off her because it's just freaking easier. It's 150 quid. Right, good. Thank you. Lovely. Here's your list. And here's 5 tips how to use it as well.
And I think that's part of... I suppose as part of our problem as well, I'm a millennial, so I'm the worst generation apparently, but I'm a millennial. So I've been through sort of every aspect of the last sort of 30 years, every aspect of change that we've had. And there've been some really big levels of change that we've had in the way that we live, in the way that we market. And yeah, huge. You know, I'm older than Google, which on its own is quite a scary thing to say, but...
I'm Google's grandma then in that case, kid. So yeah.
One of the things that I think we all struggle with is that, like, needing for things to be easy.
And perfect.
Yes. I came from, like, growing up where, you know, if you wanted something, it was hard. You had to work at it. You know, I was an athlete as a child, so... It was always about that competition. It was always about pushing forward, watching not everybody else, but yourself. And how can you be better next time? How can you push harder next time? You know, what's your personal best? And these are the things we used to do. But my friends are not that much different. They weren't all athletes, but they weren't much different in the fact that if you wanted something, you worked hard for it. We then went through this essence of convenience. And with this essence of convenience came the fact, you know, we can order things off Amazon, it'll be here next day. You know, I can forget. Yeah, oh, don't, it saved my life. Somebody said the amount of birthday parties I've forgotten, kids' birthday parties I've forgotten, and got deliveries next day for, so that my kids don't be shamed when we walk into the party. You know, all this sort of stuff. But there's this this convenience to stuff, and everything's so easy, and it comes like this, and it's at our fingertips. The whole world, you know, is on your phone, it's at your fingertips. But we then go into business and we're applying those personal preferences to business. So we're expecting to click our fingers and the orders come in. We're expecting an element of, well, I've told everyone about us, so they should all be running to us now. And I feel like that level of graft that we used to have isn't necessarily there, especially when it comes to marketing. It's almost like, well, I've done it this week, so, and I got some sales in, so that means I don't have to do it next week.
And that's a choice. I mean, you don't have to, but I think fueling the fire helps for it to burn longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, actually. I might write that one down. That might be a quote on my Instagram next week. Watch out for it.
That's fine. I'll have Google Grandma as a hashtag or a tag or something. That's
good.
I'm
renaming this podcast to my podcast with Google's grandma. Well, do you know what though? That tag is definitely going to trend. Whatever happens, that tag's going to trend.
Oh, I guess you're right, and I think a lot of it comes from this thing of people seeing very successful people. Let's go back to the beard needs food. He's got, let's say he's got 10 million followers. I don't know how many he's got. He's got a lot. But like I said to this lady, he's been doing this for 12 years or 10 years. He hasn't got that many people overnight. But people see him now and go, oh, it's easy, isn't it? Nutty Fruity Fitness is another person I follow. Lucy Davis, another person I follow on YouTube. And they all have very, very big followings. But you know what? They didn't happen over freaking night. They didn't happen overnight. Now, you can buy followers on different platforms. Don't know about YouTube. I'm not that up with it. It's not my speciality. Not my thing. But you can buy followers, or you can do the hard work and generate them yourself. The pride, I have a hairdressing client who is over in Aberystwyth. And his Instagram following is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It is growing. He set himself a very ambitious target to have 1,000 followers, I think, by X. Smashed it. He's now on God knows how many Instagram followers. But you know what? He's worked at it. But when you ask him, you know, when I say to him, yeah, how much work was it? Do you know what he said to me? He said it wasn't work, Rach. He said, what I love doing is cutting curly hair. He's a curly hair specialist. Genius. Man is God. I adore cutting curly hair. It's my thing. It's my passion. I make videos of me cutting curly hair. And then I put little, you know, subtitles on about what I'm doing. And sometimes it's more technical for my more technical hairdressing stylist audience. And sometimes it's not. It's just this little girl's never had her hair cut before in a salon. And we did this, this, and this. This is how I made it comfortable. It's more for, you know, potential other clients. And they trend. Oh boy, do they trend. And his following has grown hugely. Now, you could say he does, it's work. And yes, it is. He has to get the clients in. Then he has to video it. Then he has to edit it. Then he has to add the titles and all the rest of it and the music. And yes, it's work. And yes, I'm sure there are some times that he'd rather be doing something else, like playing with his daughter or hanging out with his very beautiful wife. But I think there are other times where when he gets that sense of pride when he sees a video being really well responded to, when he's getting an award because of the growth in his social media and the following that he's done, he's being able to give 3 top tips of how he did it to other people in his industry, then it's not work anymore. So there are moments when something, even whatever we're passionate about or we love doing, is work. But there are other points where we get that... we get that dopamine hit of, yeah, when you've got that new follower or however many hundreds of thousands of followers or whatever. And one thing I would also say is the average business, whatever average is, or small business, micro business, we don't need that many followers in order to have a very viable business moving forward. It is quality over quantity. It is talking to your tribe, and how you attract that tribe, and I go back to it, it's about authenticity, it's about tone of voice, it's about sharing, giving value to people, not being another person that's taking up very valuable platform space on your feed. It's about it. When I look at your stuff, let's use you, Nikki, as an example. When I see your stuff, whether that's on Insta or Facebook or wherever else you post to, I know I'm going to get something from it. I will read it every time it pops up on my feed. There are few people that I would do that with. Morgan, there's another one who I think has been a guest on your show. There are other people that I would do that with. There is a lot of people who are dear friends of mine who I will whiz past thinking, pretty much know what they're going to be talking about. It's Saturday night reading when I've got nothing else to do. And I don't mean that to be harsh or disrespectful to them, but it's fluff.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for in business are things to be able to shortcut me from having to sit there for hours trying to learn to do it myself when I haven't got the money to pay for somebody. And that's where, you know, if you are a service provider, as you and I both are essentially, that's where your value comes from. If it's about product, if you're a crafter, if you're making something, if you're an artist, Anne, it's about sharing the joy of that journey. Because, and I say this to the artists that I deal with via RDZPR, I love art. I am not a painter. I have no clue how you would create that beautiful drawing, sketch, etching, tapestry, pot, insert, thing, it, frock. No idea. Show me, and I'm going to be interested because I'm a curious person. Now, there'll be people who aren't interested, and that's fine. And there's going to be people who are interested, and that's fine. But it's sharing that journey. Educate people. Write down a list of the steps you take to create whatever you're creating. Because my clients say to me, yeah, but nobody's going to want to know that. There are. I'm not the only sad person out there that is curious about how you do this stuff.
See, I get the other argument. I get the, what if somebody else does it? I get that argument.
Somebody else is doing it. You might not have found out yet that somebody else is doing it already. However unique your process is, somebody in a population of what we are, 8 billion worldwide, yeah, globally, somebody else is going to be doing your stuff. It's already out there. It's already done. I don't think unique. If unique exists, it's hiding somewhere very, very sly because I haven't found it. But I think it's somebody's already doing it, but they're not doing it how you do it because they're not bringing your soul to it. They're not bringing your why to it. They're not bringing your past to it. They're not bringing your lived experience to it. And that's where your secret sauce starts to come from.
Yeah. And that's the important thing to hold on to is people are looking for value. They're looking for something from you. It's not about going on to marketing and just selling. It's about going on to marketing and explaining. Even corporations, even large corporations, look at us every single year. We literally sit on the sofa waiting for the John Lewis advert. Because that connection that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that connection that we have in that moment. Now, I don't really shop at John Lewis throughout the rest of the year. I do bits and bobs in John Lewis if there's someone to buy a gift for, if I'm looking for a certain outfit for my husband or whatever, then there's little bits. But at Christmas, I am a John Lewis supporter because I wait for that video. I watch the advert. I get so emotional. I'm so linked to it. It connects with me. I go and do all my Christmas shopping there. They get me every time. And it's that connection. It's that emotional connection to them. Even better now they've started supporting independent brands. I'm well in now. They've not just got the big brands, they've got the independent brands as well. I'm like, it's brilliant. And it is that connection. There's certain people that I go to buy things from. I have a lady and I absolutely adore her, and she does Liberty of London ties and pocket squares for men, and Alex has too many for us to actually fit in his wardrobe anymore. Honestly, he's the best dressed wherever we go. But I actually started working with her, and I actually did some coaching with her, and I spent some time and I connected with her, and I know her story, I know her why, I know her process. I can imagine her in her front room, in the way that she goes round the room doing each section of the process of making these items. I can see it, I can envision it. And because I can envision it all, because I can feel I can connect with it, every time Alex goes, I might need a new tie for this event, straight onto her website. This is the first place I go. Every single time. I don't even bother looking anywhere else now. That is the first place I go. And there's got to be something there in the right colour, in the right style that he'll love. Brilliant, perfect, gets delivered, done. And I think there's an element of, one of the reasons why we don't like marketing, and one of the reasons we don't, especially for ourselves, is vulnerability. It's that vulnerability. What if they don't like me? Because now I'm putting me on the line. It's not my products. It's not my services. It's me I'm putting on the line. And that is one of the things that I'm not immune to this. You know, I personally have moments where I'm like, my hair right, you know, or have I got the right top on? Just before this podcast, you know, I did my screen test and went, I'm looking a bit pale, let me go and find some lippy, you know. it's those little things that I think it makes marketing the bad person in this scenario, but actually it's not the marketing, it's our own fear and our own doubts that is making it sound bad.
Yeah, and I think that can be very much forefront of mind. And I think one of the things that I hope when I did this little project, as I said, for Leicester City Council with these 10 micro businesses, one of the things that I did was horribly, I sent them a Word document client questionnaire. Horrible, horrible of me. It's a form phobia is a real thing. But what I was trying to get from it through a series of questions was, where are you now and where do you want to be?
Yeah.
There is no science to this. That's wrong. There are no secrets to this. But I think if you want to know how you should be marketing or what marketing you should be doing, start at the basics. Where am I now? Where do I want to be? And if that feels too, I don't know, and then you think, what should I be putting in? That's put a great big cross through should. We don't care about should. We care about what you want. Now is the time for you to say, I want this. There is no, I want doesn't get anymore. We're not five. Sorry, mum. I want this. And so some of my clients who sit there kind of going, when I ask this question is, if we were sitting together in 12 months' time and you said, Rach, that was the best 12 months of marketing I have ever done. And I said, why? What did it give you? And you would say, and they would go, oh, because I doubled my turnover. I got 5 new clients and I'm now working with this client that I've always wanted to work with. They can answer it like that. So I think it's ways to trick your mind into giving you the answers you already know. So if where am I now? Where do I want to be? Seems like an impossible question that brings in the, oh, the books say, or the experts say, I should be doing this, this, and this. F them. Let's look at what would make the difference to you. And if that difference is going from 10,000 turnover to 20,000 turnover, good for you. If it's going from a million turnover to a billion turnover, good for you. There are no rights or wrongs in this. It's what is right for you. What is going to make you sing and be happy and give you that dopamine hit in 12 months' time? And then, yes, we break it down into, okay, well, let's take it down to 6 months, 3 months, what have you. But the start of the process, that clarity of what actually would make the difference, what makes it worthwhile for you to find an hour a day, an hour a week, an hour a month to do something that we call marketing that's going to help take your business forward, that comes from knowing what makes that difference to you, what is going to help you. And I've had answers of all different shapes and sizes over the years, and some of them are hugely audacious. And require a lot of thinking about, and some of them are really simple, like, I want to take my family on holiday next year, and I want to pay for it. And what does that cost look like? I don't know. Okay, we're going to finish this call now. We're going to book another one in for this time next week, and I want you to go shopping. I want you to go and find out what your dream holiday looks like, so you can vision board it, visualize it, and tell me to take family of, I'm going to make the figures up, so I have no idea, because I'm not. Not mum, I don't have a family of people. Mine are all animals, and their view on holiday is very different. But let's say I'm going to take my family four away to Cuba for a fortnight. We're staying first class. I'm making the figure up. That's going to cost me £6,000. Okay, so in 12 months' time, you want to earn an extra £6,000. And what will it feel like? Get connected to it. What will it feel like when you say to your currently disbelieving husband that you have made your business not only grow, but you've paid the deposit for the damn holiday, and it's all on you, and darling, put your wallet away, because this is me for my family. How would that make you feel? And I saw this client, this is a true story with some additions to protect the names of the innocent. I saw this woman sit up. She'd been sobbing her heart out, bless her, because marketing was too difficult and she was having a rubbish time in her business. I saw her sit up and a smile, and the confidence that came into her, that was good enough for her to then find a way of starting to do this thing called marketing. That might make no sense to you who's listening to this right now, or watching this right now, but that was her why. It was powerful enough for her to get off her ass and start doing a couple of things that made such a difference to her business. Her business was then in home and gardens, and I forget the names of the other big, Country Living, and there was another one, where she was then profiled as this maker of incredible furniture. The difference it made to her confidence first and then her business, and it followed hot on the heels. She took her family of four away this year on holiday. And it was all inclusive and it was first class. And she did that. She did that. But it was literally getting connected in that very visceral way that then put aside the, oh yeah, but X in my industry is doing Y and Z's doing this and they're all huge and I'm tiny and I only got little followers. It became irrelevant because what she was doing was what was important for her. And I think within all the, and there are some beautiful, fabulous books, materials, YouTube stuff, social media support. There are great experts out there and I'm not dissing any of them. But if it's too much, if you're in that front position where it's just all overwhelming, you don't know where to turn, then it's time to just politely put that to one side until you're able to look at it with a view to, what can I take out of this that's useful for my situation right now? How can I use this in my plan of what I want to achieve? If you're not there yet, put it to one side. Get connected with what will make your heart sing. What would make you walk down the street like you were the boss of that avenue, road, cul-de-sac? What would help you kill it? And by defining what that is, and I think most people come out with a very short list of perhaps one, two, three things max that would make that difference. That's when you can then start tying back and go, okay, and in order to achieve that, what do I think I need to do over the next few months? Simplify it down, work backwards if you need to. Do what works for you. But I think marketing is as essential as the air we breathe. I think marketing is essential as the bank accounts and the invoicing function and the chasing up of bad debts. And if you have those, hopefully you don't. It is as essential as getting up every morning, putting your lippy on or your socks on and getting behind your desk or getting in front of people. It is the lifeblood of your business. And if you can find that way to unite that into your core being to resonate with that authentic self in you, you will smash it. Even if there's a typo or the pixel's not right in one of your images or it's not beautifully designed on Canva because you don't like me, you don't have a bloody clue about Canva and what to do. You know, it will still resonate because that truth, that truism will resonate with your tribe, your people, your purchasers.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's nice to hear that. I think, I've been in marketing now for a few years. I'm leaving the number there. I've been in marketing from different aspects of marketing. So from sales, from face-to-face, business to customer, from business to business, from online sales. I've done every aspect of marketing. I've done every, apart from PR. I don't have the time for PR. PR is that one thing. You have to think about it. Takes a while. But every other aspect of marketing I've been in. And even with all of that, sometimes I have to be reminded when it comes to my own marketing of stop making it complicated, stop overthinking it, stop thinking it's bigger than Ben-Hur, just write a post today. Just tell someone about an offer you've got on today. Just tell someone, show them a video of what you're making, what you're doing, what your desk looks like. Show them a picture of the things you've managed to achieve through working in this way. Occasionally you'll see pictures of normally the backs of my children as they're running away from me down the beach. But it'll be a picture of the kids and the fact that I get to spend time with them because of the businesses that I run. And it's not that deep. It doesn't have to be that big. It doesn't have to be this massive thing. And yes, having a strategy in place is a good thing. But when that moment where it's all a bit over the top and it all feels overwhelming and you just don't know what to do, put a post on. A simple post on. Just start there. Just start with something.
Do something. Do something. Because if you don't do something because it's all complicated and da-da-da-da, then that's another day that you've done nothing. And a day turns into 2 days, which turns into a week, which soon becomes a month, and then also it's a year. And if you think of exaggerating, you try it. It soon gobbles up. I think, again, I'm not dissing marketing strategies. They have their place. Of course they do. But I think, yeah, I'm a big fan of listening to another of my secret vices. I'm going to lose all street cred here. Is what, if ever I had any, is listening to audiobooks from American writers who write for the network marketing audience. Because they tell fables. And if you tell a story to me, I get it. If you try and go, first step you need to take is, I've lost interest and I'm thinking about what my chickens are doing or something like that. So I listened to stories, and there was one that was talking, this guy was on a cruise. Sadly, this is a story, it's a made up thing. He'd been given a year to live, and he needed to make sure his family was financially secure. So he took this cruise, which is a multi-level marketing cruise. That is a real thing that happens in America. And you learn from the best in the business. And he was standing looking in a mirror, and he had this moment where he was like, I don't know how I'm going to pull all this knowledge into things that I can practically do to move my family forward, to move my business forward. I've only got, he was counting down the months that he had to live. Obviously, it's just for dramatic effects and to hinge the story together. But he picked up a bar of soap and he drew a path on his mirror. And he asked himself, what was going to help him move forward on this path, and what was not on his what was not going to help him move forward immediately. And I still have that in my head. Is this on my path? Is this going to help me move forward on my path, or is it off my path? So, yeah, that could be behaviors. It could be staying up late and having a boozy night out. Is that going to help me get up in the morning with a clear head? Feeling very energized and moving forward. For me, no, because I would have a hangover for 2 days because my body is basically separated. You've done all the alcohol you could possibly do in your lifetime. Don't do it anymore. So for me, drinking and late nights and partying are off my path because I'm just too, Google's grandma, I'm just too old. What is on my path is looking after myself, making sure I drink enough water, getting enough sleep. I know, God, it's so boring, but that means I can get up and be motivated to write the post, to think sharply. What else is on my path? LinkedIn is on my path. From a marketing point of view, LinkedIn is one of the strongest platforms for me to get out my message of how we can help people very cost-effectively. And it's something that I enjoy just bashing out a paragraph quickly, putting it up with an image or a photo, preferably of my clients succeeding in something, and off it goes. And we get good results, good feedback on it. So LinkedIn is on my path. Off my path at the moment are things like lots and lots of networking. Because at the moment, I just don't have the mental space for it. We're in a very busy period through to September now for various different reasons for my two businesses. So for me to give up a couple of hours for something that I don't know whether I will get a result from is something that's off my path right now. Now, I've built my businesses through networking. So networking will be on my path at some point. It's just not for now. It's not a not for never. So, you know, ask yourself when you're looking at the whole strategy thing, thinking about marketing strategies. And again, as I say, I'm not taking away from proper growing up marketing strategies, but perhaps a way of simplifying it to get you started, to get you moving forward is this thing that I'm considering, is it going to help me towards that goal that I've set myself for 12 months time or not? Is it on my path or is it off my path? Thanks to Audible and their Audible books and multi-level marketing for that one.
You'll have to send us over a link for you, the best books you've got, and I'll start a little list online because people are looking for advice. They're looking for help. And if there's books there, and you know me, I'm a little bit of a book tart, so I do like a good read. So yeah, send them over. I'll put together a list for people, and I'll put it at the bottom of this so that they can go to the list and find some books to read.
happy to, and yeah, either read or listen to. I mean, I listen to doing big car journeys and what have you, but that is one that I've listened to again and again and again, because the multi-level marketing audiobooks tend to be very short, perhaps several hours, but not, you know, many, you know, 20 hours and stuff. And they have a very simple story. And I know why the story's there. I know what they're trying to get me to think and feel. And I'm a sucker, so I believe it. But I just find that sometimes for me, those kind of books work more. I guess it's the story worm in me. I love a good story, or I love a story that helps me to emotionally connect in. Whereas some of the grown-up beautiful books by big names who are fabulous, sometimes I just like, ugh. And I just can't be bothered to listen to them.
Yeah, no, I understand that completely. I can, with business books, if they're short, sweet, and to the point, I can get through them. But if it's a long book, I save my long books for my own personal read, my time out, you know, and that sort of stuff. So you don't want anything too heavy. But I love that if it's on your path. And I think that's the thing, is it's your path.
Yeah.
Marketing isn't cookie cutter. It's not the same for every business. It's not the same for every person. When we say be consistent, we don't mean be every day. We mean if you can only post once a week, then post once a week, but be consistent with it. If you can only, you know, if you can only commit to talking to people on a live once a month, then only do it once a month, but be consistent with it so that they know where you are. They know where to come to find you when they need you. It doesn't have to be all singing and dancing. It doesn't have to be three posts a day and you doing all the latest TikTok trends. It just has to be you and finding a way that works well for you. And if you are comfortable with Facebook, then sit on Facebook and master it. Learn everything that you need to do on your Facebook so that every time you put a post out, you know you're going to get a sale. Because you know exactly how your audience work, exactly how your customers work, exactly how the algorithms work. Master it. Sit there and master it. If Facebook isn't your thing and TikTok's your thing, do the same. You, Rachel, you've got LinkedIn. LinkedIn's your thing. You've figured out how to work it, how to make it work for your business, and it works for you every single time. And I think that's the thing. We are told to be all things to all people, to be on all the networks at all times. It just, you're one person until you've got a team. When you've got a team of 100 people and you've got one person that's dedicated to each platform and you've got the 12-year-old and you know, work experience running around making everyone do the silly TikTok dances, when you get to that stage, brilliant. But when it's just you, self-care and mental space is much more important than making sure that you're on every single platform in all different ways.
And I doubt that there are many businesses, brands, yes, but there are many businesses that need to be on all those platforms. I personally don't think right now that we need to be on TikTok as the two businesses that I run. That might change in the future. I might be wrong, and that's fine. Am I getting the business I want from the channels that I'm on? Yes, I am. Great. Okay, good. Good enough for me right now. And I also think one of the sad things that I hear so much when I talk to micro businesses, small businesses, solopreneurs, is they will give me five reasons why this shouldn't be, or why social media isn't working for them. The first thing that most of them will say is, but the algorithms are always changing. So it's like what they're saying is the algorithms are always changing. Therefore, what's the point of me posting on insert platform here? And I say to them, you can't control what Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, et al. Are doing. They're multi-million, billion-pound businesses run by people who are far more clever, certainly than I would ever be. Their little toes have more intelligence and nous than my whole being does. And that's fine. I can't control what they're doing, but what I can control is what comes out from me, which I deliver in terms of story, content, and value. The algorithms aren't, in my opinion, trying to penalize businesses from doing good business. Why would they? Because that's the one way they're going to turn off huge amounts of their audience. So for me, in my very simple worldview, a social media platform, and the clue is in the name, is going to try and encourage content that is social, that is going to encourage engagement, reach, comments, is going to cause a response. Now, that response might be 5 people commenting on your post. That response might be going viral and 5 million people commenting on your post. There are different levels of response. And just because something doesn't go viral in that macro way does not mean it hasn't gotten value to the people who have taken the time, trouble to like, respond, share, etc. So I would say, sod the algorithms, get your content, start posting, start the conversation, start adding value, start finding your voice, start enjoying it. And then, then if you want to learn about algorithms, fine. Or find a lovely person who's a social media expert and get them to tell you what the things are that you're doing wrong and how you can more improve it. But don't lose that tone and that essence, because I think platforms inherently want content, quality content, whether that's video, pictorial, or words. They're going to want the content. And let the other guys worry about the algorithms right now. Don't let that stop you from posting if your part of your marketing plan is indeed social media.
I love that. That's absolutely perfect. And I think the key takeaway from all of this is don't worry too much. Don't beat yourself up. Don't stress about the what ifs and everything else. Just start. Just do something. If you can do anything, do something. If you've got 30 seconds in between making your craft and feeding the kids, you know, be yourself, put something out there. You know, it used to be all pictures of everyone's food. We now want pictures of your makes. So stick them up halfway through making it, take a picture, stick it up. You know, if you're in there making all day, set up your camera and just set it to record. Just put it on there. Just show people who you are, what you're doing, but just start. And that is the biggest thing. That is the thing that's going to make the difference.
100%. And if any of your listeners or viewers want my client questionnaire document, you know, that helps people to understand where they're at now and where they want to be. Yes, it is a form. I will apologize for that in advance. I'm not clever enough to think of another way of doing it. But yeah, answer the questions that are relevant to you. If the question's not relevant, don't answer it. Don't force it. And if they also want the blank template that then takes them through looking at that questionnaire and turning into a very basic marketing plan and action list, then I'm quite happy just to bundle those two Word documents up, send them over to you, Nikki, and you can use them, abuse them, not do anything with them. But they're there if people want to use them. So I think for a certain group of people, they will be useful and they'll be a good starting point.
That would be absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. If you would like to have the tips and guides that Rachel's offering us, or if you would like to find out more about Rachel, maybe even use her services, all the details of this episode and all the details of everything, all the freebies are on our website, and that's theartisanbusinesscompany.com/podcast. It's been amazing speaking to you today, Rachel. I love speaking to you. You fill me with joy every time. We have good conversations about marketing. Normally quite sweary conversations about marketing. I'm very proud of us both today.
Genuinely, it's been useful. Let us know. Tell us, in the comments, what's been useful, what's been not useful, and then we can respond and not in an angry fisticuff type of way, but we can respond, because I am genuinely interested in making sure that people get the support they need. And that might not be through my business. You know, fees are fees, and for some people it's affordable, for some people it's not. That's fine. But if I can take 10, 20, 30, 45 minutes, we have free things on our websites, free consultations. Use and abuse it, babe, until I take it off the website. You know, but the opportunity to run an idea past me is there. You know, if Beard Meek Screwed can take time out of his timed food challenge, and I can certainly take a few minutes out of my day to give, you know, a bit of feedback back to somebody and help them to move forward, because that is genuinely a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do.
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Google Grandma.
I am changing your name in my phone. If you would like any help at all with any of your marketing, both myself and Rachel do have availability for freebies, for free half an hours. Use it. We're here. You know, we'll try and help you the best way we can. We will be putting all of the links at the bottom of this podcast and on our website. So take the resources. There's so much free information online, but take the resources, use them as much as you can, but action them. That's all we hope for, that you take the advice and action it. Don't just leave it. Don't just download it. We've all done it before. Download it and leave it in a nice folder on your desktop. Action it, and we will help you wherever we can.
Do something.
Yeah. Do something. I'm going to make you a slogan for that. I'm going to make you a little design, a little key ring that's going to say do something on it. Just for you.
On a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Google's grandma says, do something.
Join us for season 3, where we have the do something t-shirts available on our website.
Well, I always wanted to sell merch.
Next week, we're diving into the world of the importance of quality in handmade products. And I'm so excited for this one, because this is something that I specialize in, is looking at those little quality pieces, those little extras that will get you the premium clients and get you the highest money. So if you would like to join us next week and get on the luxury train, you're more than welcome to. Find out all the details of it on the website, theartisanbusinesscompany.com/podcast. Or follow us on the gram at The Artisan Business Company. You won't want to miss it. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. See you next week. The Motivated Creative Podcast is brought to you today by The Artisan Business Company. If you enjoyed today's show, please leave a review and share it with your friends. Your support helps us reach and help more creative entrepreneurs just like you. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Artisan Business Company for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Until next time, keep creating and stay motivated.